Hello and welcome to Social Justice Matters, the podcast from Social Justice Ireland. My name is Suzanne Rogers and I'm Research and Policy Analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Our podcasts come in three different formats. We've our 10-minute lesson series where we take a particular topic, just hit on the key points that we think people need to know in that short time frame. We've our seminar series where we can listen back to presentations we've had at past events. And then we've our interview series where we chat to experts on their area of policy. This week, I'm absolutely thrilled to be joined by the current UN Youth Delegates for Ireland, Alicia O'Sullivan and Mohamed Naeem. They, I suppose, just tell me about their journey towards being this year's Youth Delegates, the types of things that they do, would they recommend it to future young delegates, and their experiences in the UN. I hope you enjoy. So I might begin at the beginning where I normally do, which is, I suppose, firstly to thank you for your time and your energy and your expertise. I'm just fascinated, I suppose, by the role of UN Youth Delegates. So again, I really appreciate you taking the time out to chat to me about it. I might begin with you, Mohammed, even just a bit about your own background and I suppose why you got involved, if that's okay, you might share that with me.
So my name is Mohammed. I'm 18 years old and I come from a small town in County Mayo, Claremorris. So I kind of got involved with activism a few years ago. I was kind of in primary school. I was involved with Scouts and the Green Schools Committee, but I really got involved during transition year when everything was online during the pandemic. It really allowed me the opportunity to kind of join any group I wanted without kind of that challenge of traveling up to Dublin, or because a lot of those kind of activism opportunities are in cities, and my school was very heavily sports focused. There was no real opportunity, and during the pandemic, everything was so accessible to me, everything was online. So I really took advantage of that and kind of wanted to explore this untouched passion, I guess. And I got involved with like Cuireann an Óg, which is the youth council, or youth councils in every county. The Irish Second Level Students Union, which I'm the deputy president this year, the Ombudsman for Children Youth Advisory Panel. And through that group specifically, that's what kind of got me interested in the UN. I got the opportunity in September 2022 to present to the Committee on the Rights of the Child in Geneva. So we did up a report about children's rights in Ireland and consulted so many young people all over the country, and then got to present those to the Committee on the Rights of the Child. So it's a very nice, cool experience. So I think that's what really got me interested in kind of the UN space, which is what how I kind of became UN Youth Delegate as well, a bit of background experience. But yeah, that'd be kind of the main things in my kind of background.
Alicia, you might give me the same sort of how did you get from where you were to here? Maybe just a little idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose similar to Mohammed, I was involved in green schools when I was in primary school. I'm from Skibbereen in West Cork, so quite far from Claremorris, but similar in the sense of rural, small town, and same barriers, I guess, to Mohammed. You know, things being based in Dublin can also be be a huge thing. So you know, especially even Cork City for me is an hour and a half, you know, and not great roads. Shout out Eamon Ryan. So yeah, I suppose for me Corla was another outlet. I got involved in Corla and I actually became the national executive for Cork County. So basically there's one rep from every Corla in the country. And then we worked on a project with the Department of Children in Dublin for 2 years. So I had my project in Dublin with the national executive. And then I had the project we were working on like locally in our Cork County Corla as well. So that was like really great experience in terms of understanding how departments work, understanding how to really lobby for something, how to actually get change in a political system like Ireland, and working with the departments and things like that. So I really feel that I think I was 15 when I got the national executive. So I really got good exposure at a really early stage as to like how things work and like how to actually create change and what youth participation can look like when it's really good and what it can look like when it's really bad and doesn't work. So that was a great experience. And then I worked a lot on youth climate action and climate justice, and I was invited to the UN in 2019 to be Ireland's official delegate to the first UN Youth Climate Summit. So I wasn't obviously the UN youth delegate. They were there in their own regard, but I was the government's youth delegate for this specific conference at the UN at the time, which was around the, Greta Thunberg was there. It was that whole wave that was happening back in 2019. So I had my first like UN kind of experience. And then I was also in ISSU. I was the education officer during 2021, so during COVID, which was a difficult time, and for students specifically doing the leaving cert. I'd done my leaving cert, well, I didn't actually do it, I guess, but in 2020 I graduated from Skibbereen Community School. So in 2021 then I was lobbying and negotiating on behalf of students in Ireland for the leaving cert. And obviously we had quite a successful negotiation because we got the choice for students, which was, in my opinion, the best outcome we could have had. And yeah, I suppose I've had, so all in all, it's been quite a broad range of things I've been involved in. But I guess similar to Mohammed, at its core, it's always been about youth involvement and youth voice. And that's been kind of a core theme of both me and Mohammed's work, even though maybe the topics or the outlets have been different. So that's what's brought us to today. No sleep and a lot of exhaustion.
I mean, it is fascinating listening to both of you, and I suppose, your passion and your interest for this area. I certainly could not make any of the claims that you both made at the age of 18 or in my early 20s. Absolutely not. I mean, one thing that really strikes me is the access that we have to the political system in this country and how open it is. I mean, that there can be dialogue, there can be conversations, there is room for youth voices, there is room for dissent. And I suppose when I look around the world at the moment, we shouldn't take that for granted. So I think that's a really valuable thing. And I suppose the youth delegates that the country pays for two young people to stand up and call into question policies, because obviously they're going to impact you for much longer than they're going to impact me. I mean, in terms of, I suppose, the UN youth delegates themselves, does every country have a UN youth delegate?
The short answer is no.
Okay.
There's a much more longer, complicated answer in the sense that, for example, the US has an observer. They don't have a delegate per se, so they don't have as much, input and as much influence and access as me and Mohammed would have. We have official UN accreditation. We're coordinated by UN DESA. We're involved in internal communications and things like that. So. And when Ireland is putting suggestions forward for resolutions and things like that, me and Mohammed have direct input. So that's not necessarily the case with the observer. And then you have countries that have delegates but aren't accredited. So, for example, we met with a group from East Africa who are picked and chosen in the same in a similar fashion to me and Mohammed, very experienced, very amazing young people who have vast experience in different areas, but their country, for whatever reason, whether it be financial or political or whichever, don't recognize them. So they then have these same barriers. They don't have the access to whatever the UN, the meetings, the communications, and they have less influence and input because of that. So I think roughly there's 38 member states who have a UN youth delegate program, but then it varies country to country as well. So like sometimes they have different ones for different topics, and every country kind of runs it differently. But I would say Ireland has a, in comparison to some of them, we have quite a good program. And obviously we feel that we are involved in a lot of things and do get to have input during important discussions.
That's brilliant. That's really, I suppose, it's reassuring to hear that, as you said, Ireland is doing a good job in this space, but it is also a bit sad, as you said, that this is an opportunity that isn't available to young people in those 193 UN nations. I mean, I'm presuming, I'm going to go to Mohammed for this, and I think this matters, doesn't it? Like, this is important. How do you feel, I suppose, when you're engaged in these spaces, that the value that bringing those young, the voices of young people and the issues that young people are experiencing, I suppose, what would be missing if you weren't there? Maybe that's the way to put it.
Yeah, like I think we've touched on it already. Like, a lot of the issues being discussed today are directly impacting young people and are going to directly impact us. And the Youth Delegate Program gives a space on an international level for young people to input into policy. Like, when we were over in New York for UNGA and the Sustainable Development Goals Summit. We got to input into the Youth Resolution, and now something we're doing consistently, kind of now virtually, is inputting or giving our kind of comments for the Summit of the Future. There's a lot of stuff happening with the Summit of the Future. So it's really important that young people are involved with these spaces, and the Youth Delegate program gives like an official space for young people to input directly into these policies. Like, the United Nations isn't exactly, it can be difficult to engage as just a young person in these processes, and the Youth Delegate program supports you in doing that. So I think, no, it is really important.
But the other question then is, I know you mentioned that you get a lot of support in it. Are you ever, I suppose, censored or told you can't bring something up, or are you actually able to bring as much as you can? I mean, we can edit this out if the answer's not flexible, but.
I think compared to other countries, we have a lot of independence and autonomy. Like, while we were over in New York, we kind of got to do, although we were working alongside the Irish mission, we got to do our own thing. We kind of got to decide what events we were going to, what we were going to speak about. Whereas other youth delegates from other countries, they were kind of censored in what they could say. But I'd say the only thing we have to be, we're probably not censored, but when we're sitting behind the Ireland thing, we have to be careful, or we just need to get what we say approved, essentially, because it needs to be aligned with Ireland's foreign policy, because we're speaking on behalf and representing Ireland, so we can't just say whatever we want to. And I think that's something I didn't realize anyways, and it was kind of a learning experience for myself. Alicia, you want to touch on that as well?
That's probably not that much different from anybody who sits in that chair, that whatever they're going to say would have to be, as you said, not necessarily vetoed or censored. The UN ambassador, Bergamay, like, he can't just sit there and say whatever he wants off the top of his head anyway. I mean, the Minister Ryan can't, Leo Varadkar can't. So it's good that you're in that same space.
It's true, like what Mohammed said, and I think for us, it's understanding the difference between politics and diplomacy and what that really means. And as activists, coming from an activist and lobbying a background, the two of us, obviously, this was a new experience, a new learning curve, and a different way of doing things. And doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad way, it's just a new way. And for us, I think, yeah, navigating that has been an experience. And trying to, I mean, it's difficult because, you know, we're independent and we represent the voices of young people. And obviously, when you're sitting behind the, as Mohammed said, the Ireland sign and the Ireland name, you are Ireland and you're speaking for Ireland. So there's a fine balance, and the line, there's no document that's going to outline specifically what you can and cannot say, and how you should say it and how you cannot say it. You know, it's a moving environment, and for us, it's just continuously trying to do that as the best as we can, so that we can, you know, represent young people the best that we can, while also maintaining that diplomatic, you know, dialogue and diplomatic relations that we have to when we are representing Ireland at the UN. So it's, you know, it's just a constant moving environment that we have to just be awake to and be conscious of. And also, at times, you know, to negotiate and defend our position and why we really feel strongly that we might want to say something. And there might be a process of just figuring out the best way to articulate that. So just, it's a difficult one sometimes, but nothing me and Mohammed aren't afraid of.
I mean, that is fascinating, though, as you said, like, you know, that there's the activism space, there's the advocacy space, there's the political space, there's the diplomacy space, and they're not all like the Venn diagram will overlap in certain spaces, but they're not all the same thing. What was your first reaction when you zap your card and you actually go through to the UN and you're in the General Assembly Hall, or you're in the other conference rooms? Of just seems just to get Mohammed, like, your initial sense of, oh, you know, how does it feel when you're there?
I think, like, it was such an amazing experience just being there. But just like my first week being there, I was like, it was an intimidating environment, especially because we were just there at like peak of high level week when all the world leaders are there. So it can be an intimidating environment, especially for young people, and an overwhelming environment. But like, as we kind of found our feet and got settled in and like understood the processes, It was such a great experience being there and kind of just understanding and being in the different rooms at the UN that you see online, like the Security Council, the General Assembly room. But yeah, like my initial thoughts of just being there as a young person was kind of like, oh, should I even be here? But as I kind of as I kind of settled in, I think I understood the processes a lot more. And like as a young person, I think we shouldn't feel that way, and we deserve to be in those spaces more than anyone else. And I think I really made sure that that was on my mind, and didn't let anyone or anything like put me down or make me feel that way.
You know, when you read about things like imposter syndrome, and I kind of think, as you said, you sort of question, oh, what, you know, do I have any right to be in this room? And then it has to be, I absolutely have every right to be in this room. So, you know, you said it's trying to get that balance. And I know, at least you were there a couple of years back. Like, what was your first reaction when you kind of, you know, when you go in and you enter in, you zap in, and you sort of wander around? Like, what do you think of the place?
It's so overwhelming because when you're interested in politics or anything like that, and you follow the UN and you're interested in these things, like it's so, you know, you just read about it or you see it on the news maybe, and it's just so overwhelming. And I mean, I think I was just turned maybe 18, so same age as Mohammed when he went. And you know, just at that age as well, like obviously now I'm final year of college, so I think it's maybe a different perspective. But when I was that age, I just remember being overwhelmed and to be honest, at the end, feeling a little bit deflated. Like, I was there for that one summit for the week, which was during high level week. So, as Mohammed said, it was the crazy week. I just remember it was the time that Brexit was like just going crazy, and the summit was on, and like this youth climate summit, and all the leaders would just leave to go to bilaterals with other countries to talk about Brexit. And I remember just feeling like, what am I doing here? Like, they're all just leaving in the middle of the young people speaking, or like the other world leaders speaking about what their country is wonderfully doing to save the planet. And I remember just literally watching them walk out while I sat there all day listening, obviously, and just feeling so deflated. And I remember walking around the UN gardens and just being like, what am I doing here? What am I literally doing here? And I think for me, it was a bit of a turning point in, you know, like we were talking about youth participation and how to make it a meaningful process. And it's something me and Mohammed have been trying to reflect on within the program. How do we make all of these interactions? I mean, obviously that was a separate trip, but how do we make the UN program, you know, more meaningful, more engaged? It is only a year, so, and the UN is such a big system. But how do we make everything so that, you know, so that we never walk out of something and feel deflated like that, or that the program feels like really meaningful, and that you have input and influence and understanding of what you're doing and why you're there, which I think sometimes can be a bit lost on youth involvement in certain things. The reason and the sense that the young person can have of why they're there and what they bring. And I know what it feels like to sit in a room full of adults, although I guess maybe I'm an adult now, when I was younger, and be in a committee or something and feel like you have nothing to give to the conversation, because maybe they're people who've been in jobs for a long time, academics, doctors, scientists. But I think what young people bring is their experience as a young person in this current world, which no adult has that experience of growing up in the current climate, with technology, with the climate crisis being so apparent as it is, with global politics being the way it is, and situations that are happening globally, like in Russia and in Palestine. So, you know, it's a different world, and we're the only generation that have that lived experience. Other generations have different experiences to bring. So I think that's what I've always brought with me, that my experience is as valid, and I don't need to necessarily have a degree to be able to share how I feel.
I've had that conversation with somebody else recently, which we've got in a different podcast, but we talk about that, the whose knowledge is given credence, and sometimes people's lived experience, because as you said, it's not coming from a PhD academic, that it's sometimes not actually, it isn't given the same weight, but your lived experience is really valid. But you're absolutely right. I mean, certain things will remain the same for every 14-year-old since there were 14-year-olds. So some things will never, ever, ever change, but it's how they're experienced will be slightly different, and the world that they live in will be different. So that definitely going to have an impact. So that's a really, really valid point. I think the next question I suppose I have there is like, what's it actually like to represent your country and speak at the UN? Mohammed, I'll go to you for that.
Yeah, so when we were preparing to address the third committee, I wasn't that nervous really at all because I didn't realize the weight of it. And Lisa was kind of freaking out, and I was like, "What's wrong with you? This is so fine. Like, we've done so many speeches. Like, we're gonna be fine." But then, like, when I got when because I think we got 5 minutes, and we did like 2.5 minutes each, and Lisa spoke first, and then we were switching over. And as I sat down, and I was, oh, no, it's really happening. But like after just that adrenaline rush that you get, like why I just realized the weight of it while I was speaking. Like it's very rare for someone to be representing your country, Ireland, at the UN, sitting behind the Ireland sign. Like that is such a massive thing, and I didn't realize it until I was speaking it. But no, it was such a amazing opportunity to speak and represent Ireland, and like coming. Me being a person of color from Ireland, like showing that to other young people of color in Ireland, it's just them making them feel like they can be in that seat as well. They deserve to be in that seat as much as I do. So that was really kind of inspiring for me as well, being kind of a person of color representing Ireland and being in that seat and speaking on behalf of Ireland. But yeah, like at the beginning, I didn't realize the weight of it.
I mean, Alicia, like, what was your experience of, as you said, you're probably slightly more aware of what was happening from the sounds of things than Mohammed was.
Mohammed, why are you exposing me like that? No, I think just, sometimes me and Mohammed, we have different experiences as well. And for me, I think maybe I realized the weight of it more beforehand than Mohammed, which, look, Mohammed is probably a good thing. I was happy for you. I was almost having a panic attack on the seat. So I think I was just, you know what? But all, what does all of it mean? I think it means that we really do value the position we have, and we really appreciate, and we have a lot of awareness of the privilege that it is to sit there, not just as two young people, but just to, be in New York, to be representing your country, to be able to be at the UN, to have access to the UN, then to speak at the UN. Like, these are really inaccessible privileged things to be able to do. And I think me and Mohammed's, nervousness and a feeling of anxiety was because we were aware of that, whether consciously or subconsciously at that moment. And I think we just wanted to do the young people of Ireland proud, and do Ireland proud. And it's like when you represent your country in sport or the Eurovision. This is the Eurovision of politics, and for us, it's just a proud moment. Anytime you can sit behind the Ireland name, or wear the Ireland flag, or wear green, as me and Mohammed did in the moment, it's just a really proud moment. Like, you can't get any bigger than that, really. And that's at 18 and at 22, it's something, you just never forget.
Because maybe this probably should have been the first question. I might start with Alicia. Like, what is it you actually do as a UN youth delegate? And I know it's a year-long program, so as succinctly as you can make it.
The most common question next to, are you paid? So yeah, I suppose, look, in to simplify it, we represent the voices of the young people of Ireland at UN level. And with that doesn't just come it being at the UN physically, but maybe at domestic events, when we're talking about foreign affairs, when we're talking about international issues. And then me and Mohammed also try and, meet as many young people and go to as many, like, young people events as possible, to try and hear from young people and let that influence, what we're going to be doing next. So, like, for example, we have a big consultation coming up on the Pact of the Future. That's going to be in Dublin on the 16th of March. We're going to be consulting with young people all over Ireland, and that will feed into a report. And unfortunately, then our term will be over in August, but the next UN youth delegates will bring that report forward to the Summit of the Future in September, when they go to UNGA. So I suppose, there's sort of two levels. One is like trying to be the voice of young people and influence and impact and create change. And the second part, or maybe the first part, the second part comes first. But yeah, where we, consult with young people, try and speak to young people as much as possible. And, it is a year, so it is difficult to create a lot of change or to have huge influence or to hear from everyone. But, at the moment, I feel like, me and Mohammed have been trying to really, go to schools. And Mohammed's been doing a lot of events. Maybe he can touch on some of those that he's done recently. They've been really great.
Yeah, I think Elisa has touched on the kind of aspect of how we are representatives, and like something that we've wanted to make sure that we do consistently throughout the years can be engaging with young people, because we're representing young people in Ireland at the end of the day. And a lot of we see cases where when people are in positions like these, they can often forget or kind of just kind of speak about their personal views. So I think that's something that's been a major focus for us anyways. And we've been doing that like by going to as much kind of national events as well domestically. And the program is well regarded kind of in Ireland. It's in its 9th year now, and the next few UNU delegates will be the 10th year. So it'll be a decade now since the program has been going. So it is quite well recognized in Ireland. So a lot of youth organizations and just organizations overall will invite the UNU delegates to speak at kind of different forums and to attend the event. So I've been to so many different events. Like I spoke at the Education for Sustainable Development Forum. I was in Leinster House recently as well, speaking to teachers. It was really interesting actually, and about sustainability in the classroom and helping students get involved with activism, or just supporting them and in getting involved with activism. So there's so much that you do on the national level as well. And I'm on a gap year as well, so I really want to utilize every opportunity. Like it is only 1 year, and the 1 year, like we're done over 6 months already. It goes so fast that you don't even realize it.
Yeah.
So like I'm trying to be utilizing every opportunity and like trying to engage as many young people with the program so that they can kind of, well, hopefully one day be the UNU delegate as well, and just giving them that opportunity, even if it's not at that UN level, just getting involved with activism, or just giving them the space or having that dialogue with them and just hearing what they want us to bring at that level.
It's important just that people are listened to. That in itself is a solid goal. And I just noticed earlier on today that depending on when people listen to this, the application form or the application process has just begun. But I was looking down because it lists a lot of the stuff that you do. And I think one of the things that I thought was interesting was the side events in the UN. Who wants to take that? Maybe just explain what a side event is and what you chose to do.
Well, we did two, so I can touch on the reception we did, and then Lisa can touch on the actual official side of what we did.
Lovely.
So kind of touching on what we were talking about before, how the UN is kind of not the best place for young people. Me and Alicia kind of saw that and wanted to do something about it. And we organized a reception at the Irish Mission for kind of not just youth delegates that were at the UN, young people who are maybe interning at the UN, doing a traineeship or actually working there, or working with the UN agents, all different kind of roles, just young people at the UN. And we had the opportunity to host like a nice reception where everyone could just gather, speak about their experiences, just get to know each other and collaborate with each other. And it was really nice. We had over 50 people in attendance. So that was something that we did as well. And then our official side event that Lisa can touch on.
Yeah, so I suppose for the side event during UNGA, you're trying to invite different partners, so civil society or different member states. And obviously for us, having other UN youth delegates there was really important. And we had it at the Irish Mission, and it's really to highlight a certain issue, a certain topic, and to deep dive into it. And naturally, it usually aligns with, something your country is maybe actively doing or actively pushing on. So for us, we picked digital technology facilitated abuses. So for me and Mohammed, it was something we both felt strongly about. It touched on racism. It also touched on gender violence online, issues like image-based sexual abuse, which Ireland has really been a great pusher on in terms of like progressive legislation. So it kind of encapsulated a lot of different areas that me and Mohammed felt strongly about together. We had a really great panel of speakers with different areas of interest. So like cybersecurity, data privacy and human rights. And I guess the event was, it was really successful, and it kind of really spoke to How do we connect human rights to technologies and their growth? And because they're growing so fast, and they're two sectors that don't necessarily meet until it's too late. So it was a really interesting conversation, and all the other youth delegates seemed to enjoy it. And it's a topic that cybersecurity and cyber wars and cyber, and data privacy and things like that, is just becoming more and more dangerous, actually. So it was just really interesting for us to have that conversation.
That sounds amazing. And I suppose it goes back to that point about, you're getting the support, but that you were allowed to pick the topic, you were allowed to run with it. Something that is very timely, very important, but as you said, also allowed you to pick a passion and say, actually, this is really important to us. I've kept you quite some time already. I'm going to ask you, I suppose this is a yes or no answer. Mohammed, would you recommend it to other young people?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Alicia, would you recommend this to other young people?
Yes,
Okay.
absolutely.
Excellent. Alicia, where do you see yourself going in the future? Like, this has been, I presume, a positive experience for you. And I would presume, if you're not a completely different person at the end of your year as a UN youth delegate, you haven't been paying attention. It's kind of the impression I get. Like, you should be really changed in a lot of ways by this experience. Like, has it moved you forward maybe to where the sort of places you want to be in?
I think you learn a lot about yourself because you're in, intensive environments that are unknown to you. And anytime you're in a scenario like that, you learn pretty quickly because you have to. For me, as I was saying to you before we started recording, I really wanted to do international relations. I kind of wanted to do it since last year before I did the program. And now I know, I definitely want to do it. It's kind of cemented my plan. And, working in an embassy or something like that really is my goal now. So yeah, it's been great exposure to that, and like I said, cemented that idea, which is really helpful.
Brilliant. And I suppose just to pick up on something you had said earlier on, which was how you've been able to plot change and pick out strategies to move things along, because policy is slow work, politics is slow work, diplomacy is slow work. How these things actually work in real life and the balances and the payoffs and stuff like that. Again, Mohammed, I suppose, this has been, I presume, a positive, or is a positive experience for you. And is it moving you towards something?
Yeah, so I kind of did it this in, I was lucky to be a UNU delegate during this point of my life, I guess, because I was always on the down the science route and I wanted to study science or do something in science. But this, like, doing the program, it has been a really positive experience and a really eye-opening experience. And I think it's made me realize what I actually want to do or what I'm really kind of passionate about. And so I think, similar to Alicia, I would really like to go down the international relations route. Obviously, I have a lot more years to do before I actually get there. But I've got a nice taste of what I'm working towards now. And I guess it really motivated me throughout my college years as well, like now that I've seen and what I know what I'm working towards. And yeah, like, I've gotten to meet so many amazing people that have been such great mentors, and like just learning about their experiences and what they've been doing. And they've just been really inspiring, like even Alicia. Like, I've learned so much from Alicia as well. So it's just been, I've met so many great people throughout the like 6 months already as well, and I've learned so much from them. So yeah, I definitely think it's altered what I want to do. So it definitely changed my path.
Well, that's good. And I suppose maybe just to pick up on one point, if you don't mind, Mohammed, you are very young. You are the youngest it's possible to be as a youth delegate.
Yeah, so
So,
in Ireland, I'm the youngest to
yeah.
ever be selected.
That in itself is a challenge, I would think, is it?
Yeah, because you're constantly surrounded by people that are in such different, like, career
Yeah.
stages of completely different, like, stage of their career compared to
Yeah.
me, and it kind of forces you to start thinking about it when, to be honest, you shouldn't really be thinking about it as an 18-year-old. Like, you shouldn't be thinking about what you want to be, like, permanently doing for the rest of your life. But it's
Correct.
been good. Like, it's helped me a lot.
Yeah.
It's matured me a lot more as well. But I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to fit, like, start college and be in first year. I'm like, I'll be too old for it in my mind. I'll be too mature for it. I'll be like, who are these people?
Best of luck. You go back in March, do you, Alicia?
The 12th to the 18th
Okay.
for CSW.
Do you go back at all now before you finish up, Mohammed? Have you and a bit stint in New York?
Yeah, so me and Alicia will get to go back together in July for
Lovely.
HLPF, and we'll get to go to Geneva to the Human Rights Council before that as well. So
Wow.
we have two kind of trips coming up as well after March.
Brilliant. As hard as Ireland can be sometimes, I think we're very lucky at the same time to be living in a reasonably open democratic society. And now that the future of it is in both your hands, I can rest assured.
Thank you so much
Great.
for having us.
Thanks, Kaizen.
Thank
Thanks for having
you.
us.
Thank you. I'm going to sign off now. Love you and leave you. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the summit. Enjoy Paddy's. Enjoy New York. Enjoy Geneva. I hope that you agree with me after listening to Alicia and Mohammed that our future is in safe hands if we've got young people like these who are so actively engaged in the policy space, who are really working hard to make Ireland and the world a better, safer place for us all. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any ideas for future episodes, any topics you want us to cover, any conversations you'd like us to have, please feel free to email us at secretary@socialjustice.ie. Until next time, stay safe.